It's got a little design between the floors. There's a little brickwork for design. Old,
That's an old idea of the old building. Look at the window kind of.
Doesn't that look crooked?
Short windows on the
top. Yeah. Leighton Levy was a Civil War veteran who had a married his daughter. The chuppah was an American flag. And then when it was over, the flag fell down, put down, and lots of little flags came down.
There's
a store they call Al's Sporting Store. That was once the place of Al, a Bubby Crystal, we called him.
That's right.
Now it's called Al Crystal. Over where Cooper's was a Bradford's paint store.
That's right.
Yeah.
But it was Ross before. It looks like I see where 210 is. Looks like the letters Ross was there. Wherever that was. But look at the style on top.
They had a clothing store.
The head of jury. Tell of a jury.
Partners.
Up on 211 Market Street called the Morrow Store. And up on the second and third floor, they had services. Any number of times in the 1870s before they would move out. They also had meetings up there. And the house, the building is exactly the way it looked then. Many Jews, of course, living around here on Front Street and Second Street, this was the most convenient place to have their services before they went and had their own buildings. And this is a real landmark in the history of the Jews. And of course, the building is absolutely unchanged.
Used to have services.
The second, third part,
over here on the corner used to be a half phony hotel, remember?
Yeah.
Right?
That's really a magnificent facade. An Army and Navy store and fires.
Fires, yeah. Over here on East 2nd Street, everybody, there was a market house. That's why the street is so wide. That market house went right down where those, the middle, see where those parking meters, that was the middle of the market house. They extended from Market Street to King Street. And Mr. Blyberg had a stall there. There's a Rabbi Rosenberg, it temporarily had a kosher meat store there. And this was where one of the first market houses in Wilmington. This was called the Downtown Market House. This was now around 1730. There's another market house on 4th Street between 1730. And they had another market house up on 4th Street between the market and Shipley. And the downtown market people had a fight with the uptown market people, and this led to the decision to get a charter, a borough, making Wilmington a charter. It was then known as Willingtown. So they got a charter in 1736, and they called it Wilmington then, instead of Willingtown. And then they divided the market days. Wednesdays, Saturdays, Wednesdays, and then they had the farmer's market on Market Street during the Civil War. Then they went over to King Street. They'd have it on one side in the fall, the other side in the summer, on Wednesdays and Saturdays. Then later came Fridays.
They also had one on Madison Street, the Farmer's Market.
I had
an uncle that used to come there, Fanny Balin's father. They lived in Stanton, they had a farm. And her father and uncle used to come up to the Madison Street.
But when they tore this down, because that's all they did. So when they tore it down, a man named Cello had a shoe store over there. And this was Danforth's drugstore over here.
Yes.
The last corner there.
The one drugstore that you could get anything that you couldn't get anywhere else. Danforth
and there was a pawn shop right next to it. I forget that whose pawn shop. You see that old house there? Real old house. You see it?
Yeah.
The remainder of that. Yeah. And below that were other houses. Yeah. Now we look at the hub of Wilmington Jewelry, 25.
Walters. Yeah. Great building.
Mr. Walters was here for many, many years, and this was just about what the store looked like, except there was a big windows there. And all the kids around here went to Walters on Pesach for their new suit, and up to Buster Brown for the new shoes, and then it was finally turned in. Well, Mr. Walters was one of the, he was in practically every committee. Good. Now we're looking out to what remains of the 2nd Street business area. The Scotts, the Strumwassers, the Millmans, they're all out there. The Shechet on both sides. Mr. Brown had a restaurant on the right side, on the north side of 2nd Street. Mr. Feynman had a store. It extended just about to that pink store there.
On the left-hand corner there, what's the white store was Weintraub's Fish Market.
Yeah.
Oh, was Weintraub's
and,
there?
Weintraub's, and the store, little stores next door was Bloom's.
No, no. No, it was a Wilmington Trust. It was a Brandywine. I thought it was a Brandywine Trust Company years ago. Then the Wilmington Trust took it over. It was never the Wilmington Savings Fund Society. No. It was a big
Oh, that's a weird place.
The little
place
store
in there.
Next to Weintraub's up there was Bloom's, where everybody went to buy a Yiddish paper. Forward.
And then was Lundy's, was it?
Rip's Delicatessen there. That's before
you. And the who had a bakery there?
And Blattman's had a bakery across the street. Yeah.
I always remember
Bolofsky's.
My mother would buy a carp on Thursday, put it in the bathtub, and keep it there till Friday, and you just couldn't take a bath. You had to sit there and watch the carp go up and down the.
Your mother wasn't the only one. No.
Also, we lived down on Front and Market, and she'd go out and get a chicken, tie its legs, and I have to carry that thing way over to the shirket,
yeah,
just about where that green light is. And Rabbi Rezus was there. He cut the throat. I couldn't go. I always looked outside.
And they had little pin things, bundle. And it put it in upside down. And it, I can remember.
Then he'd wrap it up in newspaper,
yeah,
and give it to you. And on the way back, just about I got to Shipley Street, the legs would begin to move. And just right delivered that up. What she never gave me, thank God, was the goose. She'd have a goose in the backyard. You all know this. And she'd take the goose in the kitchen, take it between her legs, and stuff the goose with corn and bread. Then she would take it over to be killed, then hang it up, in wintertime hang it up from the second floor so that it would freeze and everything. And then she would use the feathers for
pillows.
Yeah. All that is now gone.
And Mr. Banks was on that, on the right-hand side.
The great thing about the Kosher Butcher Shop was it was a place of gossip and exchange of views.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, all of Second Street was a social.
It was.
People came there not only to shop but to see one another.
Yeah.
I was scared when I was a kid. I was scared to come to Second Street because they had the Second Street crowd, like the Burger Brothers, a whole tribe of burgers. They had a fellow named Brown Strumwasser, whom I saw today for the first time in many years, and they were a rough bunch, these Second Street gang. I came from a more genteel, cultured Front Street crowd. Now, over here was don't get killed. Second and Shipley was at Delaware Hardware.
Right.
Which was an old establishment. And finally,
Dave Roth,
and then Henry Tapkus.
Well, the first man was I.B. Finkelstein. But
yes.
I.B. Finkelstein. He was a big man.
And
then Henry Tapkus and Perry Tapkus were involved.
Right, right.
And finally, this gave way. The Delaware Hardware was a.
Finkelstein involved with the Delaware Hardware.
Yeah, he was the first.
Yeah.
My uncle had Dave Roth.
Dave Roth had it before him.
Yeah, my father made Dave Roth's clothes.
Did Dave Roth have it before Finkelstein?
Yes, he sold it to Finkelstein. And,
who did he get it from?
Well, he used to buy up businesses, going out of business. And I don't know what happened, but he pointed out as
an old store.
Going out of business.
Yeah.
You probably, Roth had two girls.
His daughter is still living in Florida. His Dave Roth's daughter.
Roth, R-O-T-H.
Two girls died in the one on their wedding day and one early. They have two stones up in the cemetery. Two stone trees.
Mr. Finkelstein was once associated with Mr. Cohen.
He went to
at the Buster Brown Scar, I think. And the Cohens became the Cobins. Okay, then there was a, it's now gone. You see that white place was a candy store where a family named Glick had it. Max
what
Glick.
What addresses would that be?
Right at the corner, at the northeast corner of Second King. And there was a brilliant guy named Max Glick. And we all admired him because he had a scholarship to go to Europe to study. Then up the street would be Danberg's barbershop, Garfinkel store. Then, of course, they had
this
store.
Garfinkel. That's right.
Liquor store, yeah.
Danberg's barbershop.
Yeah, this was the center. Where we are now is where the real center, the living center, the business center of the Jews were.
And the train station was still there.
The train station, now everybody look over, see where that says that green bank by the right below. They had houses there. Dr. Charlie Levy lived about where one of those, down where that sign says Salem Lights, that's where Charlie Levy lived. And then later on, there was the Pogashers lived. And over at the corner of the north, east corner of Fronton King, Fronton Market, was where Dr. Shapiro lived for a long time. And the Skluts lived there.
Yeah. So Shapiro?
Well, there wasn't any track there.
Yeah. Jake and Charlie.
The track was there, but they live right next to the track.
Oh, my.
See, I always felt...
102 East Front?
Yeah, that's further up. That was number nine. I found them... I came here one day, and the archaeologists were digging there, right behind where I live, number nine. And I said to the fellas, look, if you're looking for it, you find a pair of trillin there, I left. They didn't know what I was talking about. They found no trillin there. But... We're never allowed to go over Market Street Bridge, except just before Sukkah, when the old man would go over to get the weeds and the rushes for the Sukkah, so we were allowed, that was a real experiment. We played under those, railroad bridge, yeah. I remember the day, 2 days, 3 days after
I
bombed
it. Banking on the railroad?
There were houses below.
Yeah, right.
Right below. When the trains went by,
down
it shook the house.
Street. They were on the right side of the track.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I think they were on the wrong side.
And they lived across
they
from
were
it.
Little houses,
down.
I'm sure.
There was a man named Mr. Goodlevich who was
a
shoemaker.
Joe Goodlevich's father.
When was the paper hanger?
And when he died, they needed a minion for the shiva, and I had just been bar mitzvah, and they sent for me. I was playing under there. I knew they couldn't do without me, and I tell you, I took my time getting over there. It was really important at that time. Exactly enough. In those days, you know, when you had bar mitzvah, you merely had some honey cake and some brumfen. And that was it. Nothing like you have today.
We should.
But this was the whole center of the Jewish life here. The Addis Kodesh started over around the 200 block, I believe, on West Front Street on the south side in what used to be a flower store. And Mr. DeWolf, who was one of the, I think must have been president of the first Addis Kodesh, and he lived on Front Street on the south side of Front Street in one of those rickety houses right below the railroad. Then there was a woman named Bertha Frank, wife of Adolf Frank, no relation, who hung on the corner, and she was a very one of the leaders in the Vicar Polam Moshe Sirkanim Society. But this place thrived during World War I up to about the beginning of World War II. This was the important section of Jewish life here, particularly Second Street here. Mm-hmm. And before the holidays, it was just packed, just simply packed.
Well, what are you going to do, take King Street back?
I don't know. Probably goes back to the early
century.
There was a Vicar Polam.
On West, Third West.
Second and West.
On
West.
Between Second and Third on West.
Yeah, nice old colonial house it was, yeah. Holy Week, it was always tough on kids because the little Irish kids from St. Mary's would chase you and call you a Christ killer, and you had to learn all the alleys.
Didn't you have the same?
Years later, 1954, I was asked to write a history of St. Mary's, which I did, and I was invited to their centennial dinner, and the Bishop Fitzmaurice asked me if I'd like to say a few words. I said, yeah, I want to say something. I got up, I said, look, I don't know who you are out there, but there are people out there who would chase the hell out of me when I was a kid. I just want you to know about it.
Bill, my grandfather's original store is still standing. That's what Sklutz
is now. He was a man with a little goatee, Abe Sklutz. The Arbeiterring people were philosophers, particularly Mr. Feynman, and they wouldn't step into the shul. It's a very interesting shul. It was more like a Sephardic shul in contrast to the Addis Kodesh, because I think the Bema was in the center of the building there. But since I went to Addis Kodesh, I was never allowed to go down to Chatzis Shalemus. And going to Temple Beth Emeth, which of course was out of the question.
That is completely trafe.
Right.
Yeah.
This was a really like a life around here was really like a shtetl in the old country.
Yes.
The only thing you had, we went to school. Then you had the synagogue, you had the shul, you had the here, and you had the YMHA. This was the whole life here. Right. You didn't play with any Gentile, you had no Gentile friends. Mm-hmm. You couldn't be on the basketball team or the football team because you had to go to cheder. I'm going to tell you, life in the old haters was really rough. If you made a mistake, he hit you on the head. You couldn't bring a pickle. You couldn't be...
Break your hands on.
Like to bring pickles in, your pickle...
That might have taken a lot of young people on the fringes.
The police here were rough on the kids. They had roller skates. They'd rough you up and take you home. And then the old man would took up where you left off, where they left off. and there was no brutality in police in those days. One more personal story. I ran away from home one time, and I was too scared to try hanging around here. And then finally, my sister cornered me down at the front market to get me to come back. I said, no, I'm not coming back. Finally, they said my mother made a big cake for you. Well, I don't know. Then she said, she has a name, your name on the cake. Well, that's not that kind of thing. So I came home, and the old man was waiting there with an old-fashioned razor strap.
Your name on the cake.
Okay, I think we ought to walk up to 3rd and King to see the YMHA. The bakery store.
Percy Cohen.
Percy Cohen's Bakery. I went in the other day, just shambles, just nothing at all, but that's where, that was a Percy Cohen's Bakery store.
Mrs. Cohen's is a puts home, I saw.
Oh, really?
Where?
New theater.
We lost some people. Some of them fell off. Oh, listen.
Look at that lovely house. See where it says? Look at that beautiful house there. God, that's a nice house.
Portugal.
Huh?
That's just the Portugal.
Prodigal.
Whole gang of boys.
Over here was the newspaper called the Daily Republican.
And that's at the southeast corner?
The southeast corner of 3rd and King. The Daily Republican, where the great woman who fought for women's rights, born here, Mabel Vernon, and Sally Gins had a shop down here before she went to Coatesville. Sally Gins was very much interested in Prohibition, by the way. Then she got disillusioned when friends would come to the house and James would serve liquor, so she decided to stop this nonsense. She told me a story. She used to go to Washington with the suffragists, and he got mad because these women were going down there and getting themselves arrested. And he said to her, now, Sally, I want you to promise me you're not going to picket the White House. Now, you promised me that. He did. She did. So she went down in a week or so, and she was assigned to picket the Capitol. And she said, well, Jim said the White House. He didn't say the Capitol. And so she picketed the Capitol. And she was one of the early suffrage movement people in the city. Now, here is the cornerstone of the JCC in Wilmington. This was built around 1854 as an Oddfellows Hall. And they had plays on the second floor, and they had meetings up there. And some of the great actors of the country came here. And then it was purchased by the YMHA. Now, I don't know what year it was, but the YMHA was formed informally in 1901, I think more formally in 1902. And this was the center of all secular Jewish activities here. There was a theater on the second floor, the gymnasium upstairs, and meetings. Everybody, almost everybody, had their meetings here around the early part of the century. B'nai B'rith met here, the Montefiore Society met here, the YMHA, and later they saw the light, and they called it the YWHA. They made that movement there. And then they moved from here over to the Addis Kodesh. They built a community center, and then from there they moved on out to
Garden of Eden.
I was talking to the young Shalich out there. I said, by the way, do you know you're working on the Gan Eden Road? He said, that was very interesting. He didn't think he'd go to Gan Eden, but there he is. But later on, after the YMHA and YWHA stopped here, this became the home of the Wilmington Music School.
Right.
And they had classes here, they had concerts here, then they moved on out to Washington Street, I think 8th and Washington, then out where they are now.
It's interesting, when the YMHA was here, William Topkis paid, they had an executive director, and he paid the salary out of his own pocket.
Yes, and the man's name was Saretsky, Sam Saretsky.
Samuel Saretsky, who wrote the first history.
S-A-R-E-T-S-K-Y.
He wrote the first history of Wilmington. And I think he also was the man who gave the motto of the city.
Yes.
The first city of the first state.
State, right.
Now, down below, of course, were various stores. The Goldstein brothers had a store down here. I think it's still in the somewhere over there on King Street. And then
that was Sarah Goldstein's father.
Yeah.
That had that.
And then Mudrick had a store here.
Right.
Across the street, Mr. Geller had a store there.
Right.
And up the street, Haber had a store there.
Yes.
And he was the last merchant I ever worked for. And I got a job in the newspaper. I said, Mr. Haber, I can't work for you anymore. He said, you work on Saturday, not on Saturday. I'm a journalist. Goodbye. And that was the end of my mercantile life. But I say, in the early days, this place was crowded on Saturday nights.
Yes.
And I had to stay until 10 o'clock at nighttime. It was that crowded. My job was to pull them in. Mr. Geller said, pull them in and we'll sell them. But we did a little cheating, unfortunately. I remember a man around Big Quarterly, he wanted a 16, 17 shirt. We didn't have it, so I took it back to the store, I wrote 17. I've always felt sorry for that. Another one of my sackcloth and ashes. A family named Crickstein lived over here somewhere.
Yes, that was that was his uncle.
Okay.
His father's older brother. And
here's the old Feinberg store, which has been here for years and years and years.
Yeah.
By the way, notice the architecture. That's the kind of house they had many, many years ago. And of course, Saturdays and Wednesdays, this place was lively with the farmer's market. You could hardly walk along the street. Okay, now over up to 6th Street, it's not there now, across with the Addis Kodesh.
Right.
First, it was a little Zion Lutheran church, then they enlarged it, and then they moved on to where they are now.
You did?
No, they have a man here every week.
Yeah, are you going up?
Okay, I think